This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We listen to My Friend, parentheses, So Long, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yamakipiego. Like, yuck, hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
Everything!
Any of that noodle thing left?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Naveen, why did you unmatch me? It's me.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
It's me, Caroline.
It's me, Kevin. We here at GCF, we're participating in the 2021 It's Me Challenge. Friends and folks at home, take your iPhone and record a video of yourself saying, Naveen, it's me. Why did you unmatch me? Or whichever way it goes. You'll figure out when you watch the video.
Yeah.
It's me.
But that's, of course, and there's a charity aspect to that. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out by next week. Yes. That's, of course, Ben Affleck, the most divorced man alive, being exposed on TikTok by someone who matched with him on Raya, the dating app for celebrities, which is usually just like DJs and influencers. And then he messaged her on Instagram. A 48-year-old man messaged her on Instagram and said, why did you unmatch me? It's me.
Do you think that's how he met Ana de Armas? Or how he like got in touch with her? Because clearly, I mean, he's not above it. That man will DM.
And here's the thing, and I don't want to pit women against women in this culture, but you know, Naveen put this on TikTok and she has an Instagram of herself. I'll just say, there's nothing Naveen has that Jennifer Garner doesn't. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Jen, rooting for you always, here in your
corner. They're hanging out again, aren't they?
No.
Or no, him and J-Lo
Lopez.
Were hanging out
the other day.
Wow, what an exciting, I love him.
A
Thank
chaotic
you, Ben Affleck,
2021.
For everything you do for us.
Do you think this is like his post-vaccine tizzy that he's in? Because we're all sort of delirious with like having little small parties and like hugging people indoors again. And his thing is like, I guess I'll reignite one of the most famous celebrity romances.
Fever-induced flirting. It's one of the big side effects. I think it's too dangerous. And I don't think people should get vaccinated because of that. I don't like to see people hooking up or dating. It's not safe. And Bill Gates did that because he knew he was going to get divorced and he's looking for a girlfriend.
Naveen, why did you unmatch me? It's me.
Bill Gates.
Woo. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, the movies, the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to call you dirty or rotten in any way. And we're not here to make you go to church either. We're just here to have some fun with our friends with whom we have no beef. At all to speak of? Question mark? Caroline, what was your thing? What did you want to talk about?
I was going to do another challenge, which is remove the blanket on whatever's behind you challenge, Kevin.
Okay. You know, I don't know. That's not really fun for the listener, Caroline, because this is an audio format. We don't put these out in video.
You know, I know it's not going to be fun for the listener, but I think they will just muddle through. I think they'll just live through a little second of silence just for me.
Caroline, for you, and only because we took an oath as podcast co-hosts, I will do this for you.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Peloton.
Okay. Why is this so delightful to you? What's the fun?
I don't know. I think it's just, I thought it was so funny that you hit it.
It's just
and
so
then you
immovable.
You told me that you hit it.
It's
and then
so
you put it back.
Immovable in the room. There's nowhere else for it to go.
It's too heavy. Would you say it's so heavy that it would crush a human, Kevin?
It would wait, what? I don't know what you're referring to.
Never mind. Move on. Anyway, I'm excited for you. I'm glad you got it because I think that you deserve it and I think it's going to add to your life.
Thank you. I want to involve our guests in this discussion/bullying session that we're. that we're now a part of. So I think it's time that we introduce them right now. Friends and folks, you may know them from the podcast, the Instagram account, Dirty Rotten Church Kids. Everybody give it the hell up for Adrian Gibbs and Josh Ling.
Hello.
Dirty.
Holy shit, let's go. That was, this is beautiful. Hold on, can we let it run? I want to let this run.
Yeah.
Church.
This is what we do. We dance
praise
in our chairs.
Praise to Ben Affleck.
Yes, praise to it's Ben me, Affleck. Thank ben you. Affleck. Thanks for the memes. I love that video. You look so unhinged. I'm worried about you because your alcoholism is troubling. You're like Bojack Horseman. Okay.
Whoa, you got a Bojack Horseman reference in there? Let's I like go, that Kevin.
I mean, yeah, that was a tweet going around. Why is Ben Affleck different than Bojack today?
Also, have you guys seen Ben Affleck's back tattoo?
Yes, of course. The Phoenix rising.
Holy yes. Lord.
Yes.
What is it?
It's a very colorful Phoenix, but it's not like a spot on his back. It's his entire back.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
It's a choice. Though. I don't think it's
permanent. That's what he said. And
haven't like seen his back since.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was for a movie, but he got the photo taken while he's on vacation with his family. So I'm pretty sure it just wasn't for a movie. Regardless, it's a choice.
Years and years ago, he was giving us what we needed as a culture. You know, Caroline just
there it is.
Here oh is, my god,
it is my Zoom background right now.
That is that kind is. Of like the male tramp stamp. It's just like
yeah,
too much
I would
tattoo.
Say a vast, colorful Phoenix on your back is certainly a tramp stamp of sorts.
Goodness, but you
there's
know what?
More space on his back that has color than there isn't.
I know.
That's yeah. insane.
Naveen, it's I want you to kiss every part of me that isn't white.
Naveen, whoa. It's my back.
He slowly turns around to reveal his back tattoo. She's like, oh, I gotta have it. There we
yeah,
go.
Match.
That's like his blue check mark. Naveen, it's my
that's may how know you me know. My Phoenix.
It's him. Gracious.
Oh, Ben He's Affleck rising. Is what brings us together, one and all. Let
truly,
us pray.
We wish you the best, Ben, I guess. I mean, I wish Jennifer the best, but yeah, I hope Ben doesn't die or, you know, have something bad to him happen to him.
He'll be okay.
He'll be fine. Guys, we're here Hello. To bury the hatchet and
we
settle the score.
Yeah.
Should we give a little background on this? By the way, thanks so much for doing the show, gang. Especially
oh,
with
we're
the
happy
time
to be
zone
here.
Diff. Oh, what a pleasure. Man. What an honor.
You know, this is certainly like an East Coast, West Coast matchup. I didn't know if I needed to lean in to like the beef trope, you know, kind of a Jets versus Sharks thing. Mm-hmm, I was like, do I come in character? But no, we are here to bury the hatchet once and for all.
Jets versus Sharks, the biggest beef of all time.
The classic East-West beef, Jets
beef.
Versus the Sharks.
When I think beef, I think of Fancy Boys dancing in Harlem.
Dancing jazzy beef.
Jerome Robbins choreography.
That's the kind of beef I like.
That's right.
Me too. Me too.
So how did it all start? Where do we begin? Where do we begin oh, with boy. This? I think it started with a reference we made on
yeah,
our
I think,
show.
I think you might have fired the first shot.
To your
Caroline.
Show.
It was a shot over the bow and it awakened just...
For the Phoenix. You awoke my Phoenix.
Yeah. There it is.
And it's been
Phoenix.
Rising ever since. of course, Adrian and Josh have a wonderful podcast called Dirty Rotten Church Kids. But one of the things that they do that is very effortful on their parts is that they do write a theme song for their guests that they have on the show, specific to the guests. They don't just play Amy, MRF, and Grant over it every time like we do, just like a one-size-fits-all template. They do the work. They put in the time. And I did somewhat subtweet that fact on this podcast. And I said, there's podcasts out there that I've listened to that put in a lot of work for guest intros. There's one, in fact, where they write an intro for their guest every week. But I'm not going to do that. And we're in a, I think I said something along the lines of, we're in a fight with that podcast. Because we're in fierce competition with them. Something like that. At which point...
Little did we know.
Little did we know.
We would cause.
I mean, I didn't sleep for probably weeks, you know, after hearing that.
The communities were set ablaze. Reddit crashed multiple times. And then it made its way back, of course, to Josh and Adrian's ear holes that this had occurred. This, you know, shade or whatever you want to call it.
I was sleeping fine, but I mean... When you get a call from Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, you know shit's going down.
Conference.
So I woke from my slumber. I'm like, oh, okay, shit. Kevin and Caroline, I'm going to throw down. We have to let them know what we do on the East Coast in dirty South Florida.
By the way, I gotta know what Elon.
What a nightmare blunt rotation! Said, yeah. Elon and Jeff.
They teamed up.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah,
that's how big this beef is.
Someone brought it to our attention, and Adrian and I were kind of like, we should just respond with a diss track, but be as positive as we can, because when we decided to do this whole podcast, Dirty Rotten thing, you were one of the podcasts we got like, hey, that sounds like you guys are going to do a good Christian fun thing. Like, oh, okay. So you guys have always kind of been like in our minds. And then when the opportunity presented itself, we're like, why not? Why not just jump in?
Yeah.
The diss track, honestly. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adrian.
And I was gonna say, honestly, yeah, we have a friend named Carla who we told about DRCK early on before we started like a year and a half ago. And she's like, oh, so it's like good Christian fun.
Ouch.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And so then I went out of my way to find your podcast, and I listened to like a couple episodes. And honestly, I had to stop. I was like, I cannot listen to any more of this. And here's why. Because it was so creative and fresh that I was like, if I keep listening to this, I will no longer want to do my own shit. I will stop.
Oh, come on. No, I will say it. Someone who's listened to a bunch of DRCK as well, what y'all do is a very different thing altogether. It's much more in depth, I think, and especially the deep dives you go into with some of your guests like Cindy Wong Brandt about like how to parent your children as like post-Christian or a deconstructed, like I find a great deal of value from conversations like that. Whereas Caroline
again,
and
putting
I
putting in the work.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kevin. Finish that sentence.
We're going out of our way to provide no value to our listeners whatsoever. We are like dodging it, like in a minefield of like, oh,
no,
this
we
could be helpful.
We offer value. It's just like Dogecoin monopoly money. You know, it's like that doesn't work in any economy, but it's like it's something. You feel wealthy in some way.
And we should say the diss track is so nice. And it's so funny.
I know it is. It's cracking me up. I was dying.
Real life podcast beat. It's the diss track. Let's get it.
Good Christian fun. You think that's your number one just because you're funny and more popular and had a longer run. Let's get it.
We can't prove it, but we think it's dirty rotten that you mentioned. What a compliment we got.
That's very hey,
nice. Y'all are funny and original and laughed at evangelicals like years before we got our shit started.
Kevin and Caroline, you seem pretty sweet. I'm sure we'd get along if we ever did meet. Like if we met on the schoolyard, we'd be close friends. Maybe best friends till the very end. But you started this beef and we are gonna end it. You didn't want to give a shine, but we aren't offended. We're the newbies on the block. You've set the bar high. We just want to one day be as cool as you guys. Good Christian fun. We think that's your number one. Cause by like every single metric, you're pretty much number one.
Yeah. What was funny is that after like we emailed you guys like a clip of it just to kind of give you a heads up. And then I was working and I get an email and I answer it. And I didn't look at the name. And it just, and the email was like, you think this is a game? You guys know who you're playing with? I'm like, what? Who the fuck is this? Oh my god!
It's Elon Musk.
I'm
like,
yeah, I'm like,
oh my gosh, who is this,
hard.
Dude?
Yeah.
That was great. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get along pretty well.
That was perfect.
So you know what? We're bearing the hatchet, and guess what? We're eating the beef. I don't know if you guys have dietary restrictions, but not tonight. You're eating all this beef, and it's old beef, so it might have some side effects.
Ooh, yeah.
Unfortunately, but it's what we need to do to, you know, proceed in healing and in the body of the church.
I will say, Kevin, we had someone join our Patreon, like a DRCK Patreon, and they were like, hey, I like heard you guys mention Good Christian Fun and I love them so much. And I please let there be no beef here. And I was like, don't worry. Okay. It's one of those things where it's like, even if there was a beef, we would not be doing much damage. against the beast that is GCF. Yeah, so we're super. We appreciate you guys so much. You guys are great.
You guys are great too. I mean, if we're comparing beasthoods, your Instagram presence alone is quite an inspiration. And in fact, you guys mentioning us on your show was a big deal to friends of mine who will never listen to Good Christian Fun.
Really?
Who love the Run Church. There's a couple in particular where it's like, did you, they mentioned you today. Did you hear about it? I'm like,
Kevin, yes, I didn't even know you had a podcast, but these guys told us about it. You guys were great.
Oh, man.
That's great.
But for what it's worth, we get a lot of that too. We get a lot of people who are like, wait, you're a podcast too? I thought you were just a couple of meme boys. I thought you're just like a, like an angry fuck Jerry, like with a Jesus fish on it. Like, and it's like, okay.
Meme lords. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good occupation, I think. That would be an honor if I was called a meme lord ever. I've been gunning for that position for years.
Meme lord, yeah.
Totally.
Well, we'd love to hear about your history with faith and religion, how you came to even do the show to begin with. Now, there's two of you. We usually have one person for the guest tomorrow. So I think the best method
is... You each get to say one sentence.
One sentence or just both simultaneously. And then I'll fade you up and down as I see like the most interesting parts of the conversation.
Yeah, if you can pan me to the left and pan Adrian to the right.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes. We'll do like a Beach Boy stereo mix. Where it's
and
like,
everyone
who
vomits.
See who, does, yeah, who doesn't throw up. Good job.
An auditory experience. Oh my God.
No, but we'll hear from Adrian. Like how'd you grow up in the church? What was your history with faith and religion and God?
Well, and this is honestly both Josh and I, we both grew up in church. My grandpa was a pastor. My great grandpa was a pastor. My dad was a preacher. Mm-hmm. So that was totally part of it. And so, I always say that Christianity wasn't like a facet of myself. Like I also liked to snowboard. No, it was like my only thing. And my mother immigrated to the U.S. from the Philippines. And so pretty much like right out the gate, like white American evangelicalism, like was my life. It was just a thing that we did to kind of get into it. And so I met Josh after having been a church kid my entire life. And so we met in high school, Link, is that right? And so we basically were both worship leaders at a church. Oh, I showed up. I followed a girl.
Same church
to this
or different church that you were worship leaders at?
Same.
Well, so we met at the same church because I followed a girl to a youth group and Josh was leading worship. I started playing bass. I'm like, hey, I play bass. And in true like youth group worship fashion, they're like, can you start tomorrow?
Yeah. Yep.
And so I started playing bass for the worship. And then Link actually had to leave because he had a class that fell on youth group night, which is like the kiss of death, right? And so I stepped into the worship leader role. He came back, and instead of me like handing over the worship leader baton or whatever, it was like, well, no, we're both doing this together now.
You're back
on vocals, bitch. Yeah, go ahead and totally. And so Josh texted me like a week after that, that we had like shared the worship leading space. And he's like, hey, man, I'd never been texted from him before. I don't know how you got my number, Josh, but I was like, hey, I just want you to know, I really, really don't like you. And I'm trying to work on it.
And that was the text.
That was the text.
God.
And I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, okay, well, you know, thank you. If there's anything I can do.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
And so then, you know, fast forward a number of years, we eventually built a respect for each other, became best pals, groomsmen at each other's weddings. And then we've just been kind of best friends ever since.
Wait, why did Josh not like you? To begin with, Josh, why did you not like him back in the day?
Joshua.
So coming back from college, like that, looking back in that time now, leading worship back then was such a thing. It was because like Adrian said, the Christian subculture or Christian culture was everything. That's all I was. That was my identity. That's who I was. And so very quickly, like worship leader also becomes my identity. And I like a lot of pride in that. So when I come back and see Adrian doing a better job at it, like he's really talented. But I was a lot and still kind of am very much a blunt person. I don't know how to put words very pretty. I tell you like it is and we can move on. So I just texted Age. I'm like, dude, I don't like, cause I didn't like him. Like he took my spot. Like now who, like
didn't
no one,
back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one leads people to Jesus with two acoustic guitars. Like we're not playing anything differently. I'm not soloing on the 12th fret. We're playing the same shit with capos. But yeah, it eventually went from there to we just hung out all the time. We left that church and planted our own church and kind of went through, gee whiz, like the rigmarole, to use like a light term, or just the work, the a lot and lot of work to plant a church with very little backing.
You two planted it as like the leaders of the church, or were you like part of a little pack?
It was us and a senior pastor.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it was a lot. And looking back now, I don't know where I got that energy from. but it was just a lot. And without going into like an hour long explanation of unpacking a trailer and putting like the Tetris pieces back together every Sunday, it was insane. And then we kind of left the church on our own. We're really lucky in the sense that, like, the buzzword, when we deconstructed, we had each other to deconstruct off of. Like, so many people don't have that. And that stepping out of the church into anything else is so weird, especially for like, us who grew up and that's all we knew. There's like the possibility of losing friends, of losing family, just getting distant from everything you knew previously. And then you kind of rediscover, like, what do I actually believe? So we were really lucky to have kind of our minds to bounce questions off of. And we had a really good friend, Danny Prada, who leads like a community down here called Heartway. He was pivotal to us, like keeping sane throughout that whole process. And then DRCK kind of spawned from an idea that we both had separately. Like, we should start a podcast because we had all this extra audio equipment from planning a church. We should do something with it. And all really,
wow. I mean, the audio there's a poetry to that. The audio equipment we're using for one purpose,
the very same.
For another altogether.
That's right.
The church gave you a hammer.
Guns into plows.
You'd be tearing it down.
Oh my god. But yeah, like the whole aim of it was, and still is, to kind of let people know they're not alone in any of the thinking. You can be a Christian. You can like choose that identity, that label, that's fine. You cannot, all of it's okay. Because we, for a long time, didn't think we had that permission. And so just through like Cindy Wong Brandt is a great guest we had. Joe Lumen was like a huge guest for us. Kevin Garcia, David Hayward, so many people that we've come in contact with just because we kind of found ourselves in this deconstruction space that we didn't know what it was until we were already in it. Like the back in the church world, and the church bubble is very much black and white. You're in or you're out. You're wrong or you're right. It's very binary. But once you get out of that bubble, like, there's people aren't going to hell on Sunday for getting brunch. They're just out getting brunch. Like, I feel like there were so many more colors to live in and experience once I got to outside of the church. And I feel like that's what DRCK has shown, either through the stupid memes we do or through our podcast episodes. Like, the human experience is so much more vast once you get outside of that bubble. But if you want to stay in that bubble, that's completely fine too. I mean, that's fine. You can choose. We're not going to hate on you because we did enough of that when we were church planners, forcing people to come to our church at stuff. But yeah.
Were the reasons that you both left the church kind of similar, or were they different in nature for the both of you individually?
Want to take that, Adrian?
Yeah, I think they were a little different. I think we both were equally exhausted. When you dedicate, right, like, well, you don't feel like you have a weekend, you know, it's kind of like every weekend is really kind of given to the church. And we were like on staff, but we weren't really being paid much. And then you don't really spend a whole lot of time with your family. And people who still work at a church, they know what's going on. Like, you really don't spend a whole lot of time with your family, especially on Sundays, but oftentimes Sundays or Saturdays. And then for us, we were working 9-to-5s, right? So it was also like you work all week and then you also dedicate your whole weekend just because it was such a small church. So I think burnout was a big deal. For me, though, beyond kind of the burnout was just kind of unraveling my own faith. And so it was really questioning. At the time, it was never, and I say the same thing all over again, so people who have listened to us before are going to be like, Gibbs, shut up about this. But it was never a question about like whether heaven or hell existed. It was, for me, it was always like, what is the true indicator of a person going to hell? Like, because we've been in multiple different denominations throughout the past 3 decades, right? Southern Baptist, and then like non-denominational and charismatic and very Calvinist, right? We've done all of these different things, and no one can agree on what like the open-handed issues are and the closed-handed issues are. And so I think
it seems important.
Yeah, it seems like you would think that would be important to know.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the biggest thing for me, was being like, I don't know. This is all up for grabs. And one of the pastors at the church plant was like, hey, it sounds like you're like dabbling in universalism or something's going on with you. And basically, like, if you were just attending, that's okay. But if like you're getting a paycheck and you're on staff, then we need you to like be solid, which is really code for like tighten up or get out.
Yeah, like kind of the line.
We need you to be solid is such mafia language too.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Need you to be solid.
As far as the close-handed issues go.
And that's what he said too. He was chewing a stogie. No. It was so weird. But yeah, and so that's why I ended up kind of leaving. And then Josh, I'll let you kind of speak to one reason.
Yeah, mine was definitely a lot of the burnout. But also when someone tells me not to do something, like I'm probably going to do it. And if you're really adamant for me not doing it, I'm probably going to do it more. So when I'm sitting in these staff meetings and I hear various pastors multiple times say, hey, you probably shouldn't read this book or talk to this one pastor, being Danny Prada, I'm like, why? Like, I know Danny, like kind of just around. I've known him for a while, leading music and stuff. And then reached out to him and realized soon why the pastors didn't like him is because he was on this whole other tip where he's looking at like Eastern Orthodoxy. He's looking at the Muslim and having imams come and speak at his church. He's having women preach from the stage. All these things that to me at the time were like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, oh, okay. And a lot of it was just realizing that the religion I grew up in preached love, but very rarely showed it. And you only got a glimpse of it if you, like Adrian said, if you fell in line, if you were solid on it. And so along with the burnout, it was just like this realization that like the people I am doing, like the people I'm working around, the people I in my neighborhood, like my religion doesn't make space for them. Mm. It requires them to be something else to be accepted. And I don't have time to be something else other than myself. I mean, Adrian and I both have two kids, or we're both married, have wives, and like we have a busy life. So I don't have bandwidth to try to put on another mask. So when it came time and Adrian is having all these thoughts about if hell is real and is the Bible inerrant, is the Bible like actually God's word? I'm like, wait, is it? Like a void of someone giving me a book and saying by John Piper or by Mark Driscoll or Francis Chan. Yeah, those are all your favorite guys. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, that's my Avengers. Chan, Crazy Piper, love. Driscoll. Let's throw R.C. Sproul in there.
Your Peloton bike is just littered with their little stickers.
Yeah, I got a little Tim Keller sticker in the center of it.
Paul Washer.
Oh, gosh. Washer, good grief.
But yeah, void is someone giving me that book and saying, here's how he says you should do it. Like, what do I think? I'm then realizing there's been hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of people just talking about the subject and diving into it and talking about it to talk about it, not talking about it to find an answer. Mm-hmm. Like, man, there's so many different ways to do this stuff. So that's kind of where it went for me. I took a break from the church and then eventually told them, hey, I can't do this anymore. At that point I was doing everything. I was setting up and tearing down. I was leading worship. It was ridiculous. And we thought we left amicably, only to find out later that from people who are still our friends who are attending the church, that they were just talking, we shouldn't expect it any different. Like just a bunch of like BS behind our backs. Like, oh, okay. At least Things are operating as normal. Cause that's how church stuff usually goes. Nothing's changed, but yeah, it was a lot. And, I don't think either of us knew what we were getting into when we decided to like, hey, we'll just jump ship and take a look how things look out here. But yeah, it's been a wild ride that has led us to you guys. So it couldn't have been that bad.
So it was all worth
it. And this is the end of the road.
And this is the end.
We peaked.
It's and over.
This is where it stops.
We're ending our podcast. You're going to end your podcast. And
we're ending our spiritual journey.
I texted Gundor. He's ending his
family relationships. Yeah, it's all stopping. Yeah, it's funny thinking like if churches just didn't work their volunteers so hard, like how much longer maybe you would have stayed in the church, you know, like do you ever wonder when you would have changed your mind, you know, otherwise?
Yeah. So there is this one thing where the lead pastor of our church, and correct me if I'm wrong, Adrian, cause I could have the dates wrong, but, at our first like church plant meeting, he's like, I just really want to ask you guys to give us a year. Just put in a really good year. And then this time next year, we'll kind of reevaluate and see where we're at.
It was 3 years, actually. But
so that's what it was, 3 years.
He said, give me 3 years of your young lives.
Yeah, to make this
19-year-old lives.
Work. Yeah, let's do it.
oh, man.
3 years of what? Of commitment? Of
three of your hottest years?
Yeah.
Being solid, Kevin. Yeah. Being solid.
Solid.
If you want to get solid in this church, you'll give us three.
Loyal.
3 of your hottest years.
Oh my God.
So 3 years comes and goes, And I bring it up again. I'm like, hey, should we talk to everyone about this? Like, nah, we got this other thing to work on. I'm like, then what the hell is the point?
Yeah.
It was
so manipulative.
Yeah.
It was a long time. Yeah.
3 years. I remember this triggered a memory in me of when I worked at a church here in Los Angeles that was a non-denom sort of reformed adjacent church. We went to a staff conference at a different church kind of in Orange County, a little bit south of here. And one of the sessions that I went to with the guy who was my boss at the time, the session title was How to Get Your Volunteer Staff to Act Like a Paid Staff. Which we were like, God. Yeah, how do we get that? Not thinking, is there an issue with that at all, even in the framing
That's
of it?
Crazy.
Straight and you didn't go to that breakout?
How to make slavery happen in the church, basically.
Yeah.
We're bringing slavery back. Yeah. What's up, guys? Okay,
old
here we go.
Tradition. Oh, my God.
Back to basics. Fundamentals.
Best of basics.
The most fundamental.
That's insane that someone thought that was a good title for anything.
They said the quiet part out loud.
It's clunky, too.
Like that.
Yes. Yeah.
It is clunky. They need to tighten it up. Tighten
like
it up.
Staff. And it was like, that's so funny, too, because specifically with that church, anybody who was volunteering probably lived like half an hour up to 45 minutes away from the church and had to like drive, because we're in LA, which is just like spread across everywhere. And so people were driving in for 8 a.m., 9 a.m. services so early, staying till night. Like, it's crazy what people put up with.
It is not good.
Yeah.
I volunteered, but I didn't do the full day shift. I did a halfie. And then I wouldn't even listen to the sermon.
I was the same. Well, in the time I was working there, I would be there 10 hours a day every Sunday.
Oh, right.
And often that's like skip out on the whole. I know. Sometimes I like fully forget about that little chunk of my life from like 2011 through 2013 or whenever that was. It was
totally
a little chunk. But you know, the other thing that you said, Josh, that triggered another thing in me is I do remember at one point in that church, maybe it was around 2014 or 15, from the pulpit, them talking about, there's a lot of podcasts out there now, like almost subtweeting the kind of thing, which at the time, y'all didn't exist and this podcast didn't exist, but I'm sure something like Liturgist Adjacent or anything like Deconstructive or Rob Belcourt or something like that. It reminds me of a time in which certain resources or information was considered dangerous or harmful in terms of like developing a worldview or even like an aesthetic or an opinion about anything, which now I don't feel that way about hardly anything other than like, I don't know, Tucker Carlson saying like your kid's going to die and get autism if
Joe
he has
Rogan,
a vaccine.
Kevin.
What's that?
Yours is Joe Rogan.
I guess it's Joe Rogan. Sure. Just in the sense of like when it comes to spirituality, I think there are things that are like wastes of time to engage in, but nothing that's like, this is actually dangerous. Like the word dangerous, I just don't associate with.
Cults, Scientology. I would put that in that category a little bit.
You would say dangerous?
Yeah. But dangerous in a way of like they're built on abuse, you know?
We may see.
That's
I'd say the,
say.
The
I don't know
the cult Nexium.
Yeah, I was gonna say
from the Vow on Netflix.
HBO was Max, but wild.
HBO, whatever.
Get it
all
right.
The same. Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing my dichotomy obliterated before my eyes. I do understand. I guess I'm just thinking when
but
it comes
your,
to
your
like
point stands
a Christian world or like things that are like a little bit to the left or a little bit, you know. I guess not a little bit to the right, but a little bit to the left. Yes.
Which is funny, too, because that church was non-denominational. That's such a hard word to say. But I was thinking about it. It was like, I didn't even have a sense that we had like an orthodox set of views that we were even trying to like battle against.
Oh,
except that they, like you said, wouldn't have us read other things or anything that slightly challenged the Bible. Or like, we actually were on a very narrow spectrum of Christianity, like, or a narrow slice of the spectrum, basically. Yeah.
And when you're in it,
I didn't even know we were like beefing.
Yeah. And when you're in it, that narrow slice, you think you're the whole thing.
I thought that was just like objective truth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Exactly.
Totally. It was like the whole understanding of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like,
we got to figure it out. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
I was like, we've read all the books. We've got it.
And I think too, like you mentioning the whole non-denominational thing, having actual like underlines. Like I think so much of what we hear from folks when people interact with DRCK stuff is they're like, hey, like that's just your expression of faith. Like maybe you just came from a mega church and, oh, mega churches are the worst. Come over to our church, right? And it's kind of like, well, there's something undergirding all these denominations that oftentimes have the same, there is something underneath the thing, right? So right. Just like you said, so even if it says non-denominational, what we have experienced, right, is there is still something that I guess you might not call it a denomination, but is certainly a through line that is consistent with almost all of white.
The limit of your church at some point.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does beg the question whether the core and the foundation is rotten to a degree rather than like, because that is always such a technique is excusing the flavor of like, oh, I know Carl Lentz is extra or something. Like, of course your experience of it was like, hey, I'm really sorry. And actually this kind of goes back to the song we're going to talk about, but just in the sense of like, I'm sorry that this was your experience of the thing that I'm for sure is good. rather than like an actual engagement with the substance of what the belief is. It kind of gets into that like weird, yeah, you know, Christians have hurt people. You know, this happened. Right, right.
Nobody's perfect.
A handful here and there independently have done a couple things.
So what's on the other side of this for you guys? Like in terms of like worldview, and obviously you're still in the process and the process is part of the dialogue and discourse on the podcast, but what does it feel for you? What does it feel like for you right now today?
I've never had to come home and take a bra off after a hard day's work. But I've heard from like women posting on Instagram, and my wife even says it too. Apparently that's a very refreshing thing to come home from work and just take your bra off.
Fantastic.
That's how I feel after leaving the church. I just feel refreshed and be like, mm-hmm. well, like I'm out here and this is just, I'm going to figure it out. And now I get to choose how I raise my kids. I get to choose what media I let them watch, and talking about Christian pop culture. Holy God, I consume so much of it. But yeah, it feels like there's this freedom and there's this respect that I have more respect for just other people's opinions. And kind of going back to what we were saying with the whole non-denominational, like the thing under the thing, like with Christianity, there was always, you always needed to have an answer. Like there were so many apologetics classes you attended, mm-hmm. and there's so many things you had to memorize and like give your elevator pitch on Christianity to someone, so much stuff. But now, like, I don't need to have the answers, and that's just as valid as having an answer. Mm-hmm. And so allowing myself to take that journey of, if I want to think about what the afterlife is, if there is one, if I want to think about if there's a God and if it exists, what does it look like? Then I can, or I can just exist. And Adrian and I can meet at the park with our kids, and my son can football kick a duck egg back into a river.
True story.
Not a bra in sight.
No bras.
This is what happens when you disrespect God's creation. What's that, Caroline? I'm sorry.
What'd you say, Caroline? She said something. What'd you say?
What the hell did you say?
I'm proposing a new term. It's called nips out spirituality.
Hashtag
it's
it,
where
let's
you
go.
Let them out. It's
we're gonna
nice
make it
free.
Happen.
It feels so much more comfy.
I think Adrian got so excited he unplugged his camera.
Yeah, he didn't want me to see what he was doing.
I was so eager. Hold on, I was taking my nips out. Hold on.
Yeah, I think he's seeing
guys,
that
we can
practice
take our nips
right
out.
Now.
The camera censored it for you, dude. That's great.
I love that body positive church ethic. Finally,
yeah, that's I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I get to feel that feeling at the same time, two ways. Isn't that cool?
That's true. Yeah, it's doubly so for you.
Yeah, it's double a privilege of being a woman.
Again, so Adrian, culture like favors women's experiences time and time again.
Again, set up we for have women
to
see.
I was trying to get past that, Kevin.
Leverage.
I was trying to go to Adrian's thing, but you had to bring it back. You have your thumb on the pulse.
Women,
you and Tucker Carlson are just
themselves. Yeah.
Women have had it too easy for too long.
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah, what is it for you, Adrian? What does it feel like now?
I think it's very similar. I think it's kind of a cosmic shrug. I think that when you go through your life drawing lines and having definitive answers and definitive arguments, and you have to find a way to kind of like Tetris every belief and every thought you hold through the context of scripture. When you kind of undo that in the course of a faith change, you almost feel like you're playing by like a different rule book now. Oftentimes folks who are still very much in the evangelical bubble who are having a conversation with me, not really to listen, but to try and kind of like Kung Fu me back into the fold, they will try and go, well, like, what passages are you referencing that says that? Like, well, what does the scripture say in order for you to kind of supplement your positions? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're on such a different wavelength right now that I'm no longer even interested in having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is new to me. We were always taught, like, you can't be a cafeteria Christian. You can't pick and choose.
Right.
You can't just listen to what your itching ears want to hear, right? Which is such a thing. And really what that's doing is trying to bifurcate you from yourself, right? Yeah. Trying to remove you from your own intuition, your own perspective. What you think doesn't matter, because all that matters is what has been kind of regurgitated by, like, cishet white dudes over the ages, right? So I think now on this side, it's so different because it's like, I don't even feel like I need to defend the faith. There is no faith necessarily mm-hmm. to defend, and perhaps it's all faith and therefore it doesn't need a defense. So it's just a very different way of seeing the world.
That's lovely. Yeah. I know.
You both are so good at succinctly explaining
I told you, Caroline.
Well.
I told you. That's why I keep him around.
Incredible. I mean, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a diss track now.
All right, here we go. Caroline, I'll give you the beat over Zoom. 5, 6, 7, 8.
D. R-C-K, you're way too good at explaining what's going on in this head of mine. I was doing perfectly fine, being dumb, being inarticulate. Then you came and you said, you're big stupid. Well, can't remember when we used to do that, how that used to kind of go down?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
And me just
that takes me back to like 10 years ago, Caroline and I attempting to have rap battles in our old house, and it would always end this way.
Yeah. Yeah. With me, like, kind of upset.
It sounds
disappointed in myself.
Right. No, yeah. It's the disappointment that I remember most specifically. Just the absolute self shame.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm so happy to hear your just kind of your state of being right now. You both seem like really grateful. I think all that shines through on the podcast and the kind of conversations you have on the show. Obviously, we highly recommend people listen to Dirty Rotten Church Kids.
Yes.
If you like even a sliver of what you're hearing on GCF as well, so people can check that out.
Thanks. Can you call my dad and tell him that?
I would love
you tell him how grateful
up right. Let's
you
add
are.
Him to the Zoom call. Yes.
Yeah, can you tell everyone in my family?
Yeah, can you call my family members, please? Thank you.
Mom, I have approval somewhere.
There you go.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry. Not that one. Singles Ministry, this is the format of the show in which we take one contemporary Christian song or hymn or whatever the hell we want to talk about, and then we discuss it, have a dialogue, a discourse, and deconstruct, if you will, the song. But before we do that, I want to ask both of you about your exposure generally to Christian pop culture. If you were raised in the church, it sounds like, and especially the way Josh is shaking his head, he's seen it all, he's heard it all. But what were some of your favorites or stuff that meant a great deal to you in addition to DC Talk, Supernatural, and this song?
I was a big Carmen boy.
Carmen boy. Okay. Well, thoughts and prayers to you. My condolences on our
Yeah, well, it's been tough.
Yeah,
it's been a tough time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Addicted to Jesus, A2J. That was my jam, and that was actually my first introduction to decent Christian talk. And that's why I was so into them in the beginning.
Because they were like, if Carmen says these guys are cool, I gotta check them out. Yeah,
what's this Petra? I gotta find Petra, and that's really what happened. Yeah, Josh, how about you, buddy?
Oh man, I don't even know where to begin. DC Talk was like just a constant Jesus Freak album, Supernatural, like quintessential cassettes I had. OC Supertones, Audio Adrenaline, and then like movies and stuff, Adventures in Odyssey, Salty the Singing Songbook, McGee and Me.
Oh yeah.
Run the entire gamut.
All the hits.
All the nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back now, I looked back because we were talking about something and I wanted to reference Salty and I wanted to have a new fresh perspective of what Salty looks like. It is terrifying.
It's so scary.
Don't look.
Well,
don't
it's like one of the Salties, the man had a full grown beard.
Yeah.
Just painted blue over it.
Ernie, that was his name, the guy who was doing him. It was Ernie something.
That was shocking, but yeah.
Ernie Retina. Pages on his body, I think, is like horrifying enough.
Are those his organs? Is that how he breathes?
What? Yes,
does he wash them?
The kids, I'm going to bend over. You open me up. What the hell?
Is that his ass?
A kid's like, okay, I want to sing this song. Let me look. And Salty's just like,
I wasn't ready. Oh,
you're
my
tearing
God.
Me apart.
Well, there were, me apart,
there,
Lisa.
There were two Salties, too, because there was Blueface Man, there was Ernie, and then...
Embroiled in scandal.
Yeah.
So they had to get a new one. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, he got me too, unfortunately. And then then there was the animatronic Salty as well, where it was this like a full on, like almost like a puppet body.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, and then what else? There was like Christian video games I had on my Game Boy where you played as Noah, you'd stack animals and stuff together.
Get drunk and sleep with your daughter.
Yeah, it was just a whole thing.
I don't like that level.
No experience.
No.
Oh my God.
That was my exposure to like the first time, like a simulation game. Like, now you get to get drunk.
You get to stack
with your daughter? Question mark.
I guess they, I guess they probably stacked animals on the ark.
Honey, Josh has been playing that Noah game nonstop. Yeah, like,
Mom, close the door.
It's not even a good game.
Did you see any of these bands in concert? Did you see them in the flesh?
Oh, hell yes. I saw OC Supertones and DC Talk together. That was a wild show.
Wow, 1-2 punch.
OC energy. That's like Lady Gaga touring with the Goo Goo Dolls. Gaga and Goo Goo.
That's a great.
That's incredible.
And then I got into like there was those Cornerstone festivals out here in Indiana and South Carolina and Florida. Mm. Went to those, and then I got into like the pseudo hardcore music scene, and I just dove headfirst into there. And like, it's interesting now looking back on those bands, because the lyrics even back then were kind of where Adrian and I are at now, like really thinking through spirituality. And like a lot of those guys now don't land anywhere on that spectrum anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting going back looking at those bands. But OC Supertones, not so much. Audio Adrenaline is now fronted by that's Newsboys. That's Michael Tate doing Newsboys. But it's interesting to see how it all kind of fell into place.
Fronted by the Lake Elsinore of the band, Michael Taint.
Michael Taint, totally.
Shout out.
Not to be confused with Michael Asshole, which is the Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, that's right. Different Michael altogether. Now,
incredible bass.
Close, but so far away.
The text I got right before...
Yeah.
Like during the break, actually, when I checked my phone, because what else was I going to do? Talk to Caroline? It's from a friend of mine who's also a listener of the show, and she texted, apropos of a conversation we had a few days ago, she said, also, I think DC Talks Consume Me is horny, whether they meant to or not. That it's a horny song.
You consume me, moving through
which
me.
Which, of course, if people
every
remember.
Night and day. Yeah, there it is. Let's go.
It's from the Supernatural album, Adam Sandler. This is, yes, an Armie Hammer classic, Consume Me.
Oh, my gosh.
He listened to this to pump himself up on the set of Call Me By Your Name, famously, before every take.
Lord. Wait, Kevin, didn't we talk about this on the show?
Yeah, so we talked about we talked about the album Supernatural a couple years ago with our friend Megan. But I don't remember how much time we spent on the actual song. I got to look it up again.
Knowing us, about 10 seconds, maybe?
My friend, parentheses, so long. Yeah, we probably just glazed and blazed over it. My friend, parentheses, so long, which is the song we're here to talk about. Well, first of all, let's zoom out. What did this album mean to you both, to you guys?
This album was, to me, it was the first actual introduction, the foray into moving from like Carmen, who like looks like a banker who happens to sing.
A banker like at a bank that you're afraid to do business
at,
maybe.
She'd be so upset to hear that.
Like someone who wants you to be solid, you understand?
Wait, you think I'm a banker?
I'm a showman.
I got shoulder pads, what you talking about?
Oh my God.
Am I not knowing what about me, you mooks?
But DC Talk was real music.
They were real. They were like a band, you know? And there was like three. And so I think I had a WOW VHS that I somehow bought at like a Christian bookstore or something, and it had like You Are the Devil and the Devil is Bad by the W's.
Hey.
It had Little Man by the OC Supertones, and then it had My Friend So Long. And oh my God, I was like, these men are so sexy right now. They're just so cool.
They are.
Yeah, and we can dig into it, but the music video is incredibly sexy.
They're little cuties, I will say. Like,
they're oozing something in this video and in the singing of this song. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. What do you mean for you, Josh?
I DC Talk could do no wrong. I can still close my eyes and see the CD cover of Supernatural with the weird looking TV.
Like Men in Black TV.
And yeah, there's like an Apple computer. TVs will Apple look computers. Like IMAX. Yes.
Yeah. But their vocal harmonies would just destroy me. Like, how the heck you three guys like sing so well together, and then like, the backing band they had was so much fun to listen to. But yeah, this just after Jesus Freak was more aggressive, and this was more just like poppy, but still very insanely catchy. You can give me like a snippet of any of the songs. I'm like, oh, I know, and just jump right into it. I just did not stop playing that album. But My Friend So Long, when we decided to talk about this, when I started like reading about it or seeing if there's any articles on it, and it just in reading back the lyrics, it's such a strange, like it's a strange place to write a song from or to write any art from.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to it real quick.
Let's go.
We'll just listen to a little snippet of this interesting song, and then we'll talk about its lyrical content.
I heard your record on the telephone. It was my cousin Joan. She picked it up in the top 40 rock, and then
I read your interview in Rolling Stone. You threw the boys a bone, and so I genuinely felt obliged to call.
I know you never meant to hurt us, man. We're just a baby band. You found a quicker way to scale the wall of fame. Situations on the down. Should we up and go with him? No way. No way. We know exactly where you are when you're gone, my friend. We know exactly where you're coming from.
Okay, so that's a little bit of My Friend, parentheses, So Long.
Oh, man.
So essentially,
it still kind of slaps, guys.
It does. We were all headbanging.
Yeah, I'm hyped, dude. I am ready to go.
I am euphoric.
That's what's problematic.
I'm ready to go set up some chairs. Let's go.
Oh, gosh. So this was written by the boys, the three boys, plus Mark Hudson, who is a songwriter they would work with a good amount. And it's essentially written from a fictitious perspective of essentially like, hey, what if one of us splintered off and left the band and went secular? So it's almost like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan is him saying like F you to some girl that like may or may not be real. This is also like a sort of Christian evangelical version of an F you, which is like, hey, you've absolutely made the wrong decision. I still love you, but you are ruining your life by what you're doing.
And they're totally. So upset at this fake person that they wrote an absolutely slamming song for them. And I think the kicker to this and the cherry on top is like the bridge where they talk about how much they love this fake person as well. And are like, miss them and yeah. would gladly welcome them back if they ever came yeah, back home. Yeah. Like, it's this sincere love in it as well, not just the diss that cracks me
up. Don't think we don't miss you. We think about you every day. We still love you anyway. Love don't go away. There's still this burning question. I got to know why? Why did you, you know, I don't know, leave the church or whatever they did. I mean, yes, because my interpretation of it is, yes, they're in the band and then this person went secular. And then had like a rip roaring career, which I'm trying to think of a pop equivalent or like a Christian music equivalent. I mean, this was after this time, but the artist formerly known as Katie Hudson yeah. put out a few like one biggest. Christian album and then became Katy Perry. But this didn't happen to any group that I know of in CCM or not a prominent group where it's
yeah,
like
any CCM stars that made it to Rolling Stone.
Right,
no,
right.
I'm sure Amy Grant got her little paragraphs in there. At
of course, yeah. Amy, yeah. the legend.
But she is someone that was also like really trashed for it too. Like when Baby yeah. Baby came out, and they're like, "You're a sexual object now. What are you doing?"
Yeah, but not, she stayed true to her faith as well.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So she did both at the same time. But it's such an interesting kiss off, because of course the kiss off song, like the telling off song, is like a tried and true format, but this is just so laced with the passive aggression of bless her heart imagery.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I'm like so curious what it was like to be in the writing room. They're like, okay, there's three of us, let's pretend like Michael just goes off and sells his
hey,
soul.
What the hell?
Let's just say, let's just say Michael. Okay, let's just pretend it's Michael. I'm not saying that like Michael has been really wearing some really suggestive clothes and like flirting with a lot of the girls, but let's just pretend that Michael decides to stray from the faith. I just want to know, like, or if it's like, let's pretend one of us becomes rip roaring, incredibly famous. Like, I mean, in my case, like, let's just pretend they recognize my talent and I go
me,
off.
Toby Mac.
Wait, no, that was really, Kevin Max for sure.
He's like priming, they're like priming the pump. Like, what would you do? I mean, if I was like, decided
like
to go solo.
Cosmically famous.
I think it's also like in looking at the lyrics, I'm like, they're just writing this to get ahead of anyone complaining about them ever going like,
sure.
You're just already on the defense. And I didn't look critically at these lyrics until we're going to do it for this episode. And then I realized they're arguing with nobody.
Nobody. Or still, do you think that they were keeping each other in check with this song as well?
No, Caroline, it's not called in check. It's called
accountable.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Accountability
partners for life.
Yeah.
It was the Mexican standoff. It was the Mexican standoff of music.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going secular. Well, I'm not going secular.
Get famous.
I'm not going
you?
Secular.
No, I'll never get famous.
I'm not going down for this.
We'll still love you, but why?
That's so funny.
Deep down, God. Kevin Max wanted to pull, you know, to bring it back to our girl. He wanted to pull an alley in A Star Is Born where he breaks off and does pop, and there's a big billboard of him on Sunset.
I think he would have been a great pop star, honestly.
I agree.
Kevin Max had the most range, I think, out of all of them, the yeah. most vocally talented.
He literally has the range. He literally does.
He has the range.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also has the range politically now, I will say. I mean, he's retweeting yes. Bernie all the time. He yeah. is fully a lefty on Twitter.
Caroline, did you see that he did comment on someone tagging him on the last episode we did about DC Dunk?
Oh, yeah.
And then I think we should book him on the show.
I think we should book him
Get
on the
it.
Show.
If you dare to interact with us in the faintest degree, I mean, you will be booked.
I think his comment was, oh, no, I haven't heard it, but I don't want to talk about songs that I don't mean anything to me anymore. I forget the original tweet. I'm sure I'm misquoting
yeah.
it. But it was something like not mean. It was just kind of like, I don't care.
I think we
this.
Could lure him. You know, I think we could,
sure.
think we could make it relevant
yeah.
for him.
Talk about your current music then, Kevin. We need to talk
yes.
to and about Kevin.
Yes.
on this
Someone
podcast.
Needs to talk to Kevin.
Yes.
Anyway.
So the lyrics.
But his vocals on this with the, you know, doing yeah. his full Queen thing. It was
I'm trying to remember, like, okay, so this album comes out in 1998. Who are they aping? Are they going for a Blink 182 sort of situation? Because it's almost like a little punk poppy, the danny danny dan, like even some of the
yeah.
vocal delivery that Toby I'm gonna say Toby Keith, but Toby Mac does. Can you imagine Toby Keith and DC Talk? That would rule.
But yeah, I think even maybe like a little bit more aggressive Goo Goo Dolls or something like that. Like that same sort of vibe, where it's sort of like rock, but really more pop. I do want to bring this to the podcast.
Please.
This is just the weirdest thing I found looking up the song. Did you know that in 2017 and then in 2019, there was a Jesus Freak cruise?
Oh,
on Josh. The Royal Caribbean?
Oh, did we know?
Yeah.
Did we know?
Yeah. Oh,
what in the ever-living hell?
You think you can come to good Christian fun?
Yeah. You think that, we won't know about that's the Jesus Freak cruise?
Here, let's just watch a little bit of this. And
what?
Here's the moment they try to recreate from the music video of them doing high kicks.
Oh, boy.
Headwear on everyone.
I don't like this.
Toby Mac looks like a dry aged Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're not wrong.
He is Justin Timberlake, honestly. Even just like the way he is.
Oh,
like a Justin Timberlake that you forgot out back and kind of left in the sun a little too long.
Oh no, I left my Timberlake in the car. Someone get him.
Oh no, it's Toby now. Oh God.
Well, I got a Toby out of it.
God. The cruise. I would kill to go on the cruise. I hope cruises come back this year so that we can go to the Maldives with the DC Talk. No, they probably go to like Alaska.
That's my first post-vaccine trip I'm going on is the Jesus Free DC cruise. To the-
One of the most beautiful places in the world with one of the most confused bands ever. This song is like, consume me? What the hell is going on?
I watched the music video for My Friend So Long, and it rekindled like a passion for DC Talk.
Ooh, yeah.
And then seeing that footage kind of flipped it.
It's confusing you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Icy like... Hot, where it's like, it's not what you want, but it is at the same time. So I think we're playing a little bit of the music video right now. I think the music video kind of works and is good and fun.
Oh, totally.
I think, you know, it's one of these where, like, speaking of their original influence, Carman, this is the first one where they're kind of playing characters throughout. And they embody.
Yeah, there's a story.
Toby Mac looks so scared.
They're surgeons, they're paramedics, they're the patient on the gurney, they're the news. Kevin Maxwell is a little newscaster.
The stoic delivery. I had never seen a music video with people stoically reciting lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I was like, this is the coolest thing I have
Damn,
ever seen.
That is so understated.
Oh,
and then Kevin Max just making love with the camera. That's, oh. I think he was ready. This is why I think he would have been a great pop star. Like, he was already putting out the vibe.
Mm-hmm. He had the smolder for sure.
Yeah.
Goodness. So good music.
This is
video.
So confusing. Why did my parents let me watch this?
They're in a hospital. So essentially, they are making the subtext of the song or the text of the song even more of a flagrant metaphor in which their friend leaving the faith or the church is dying. They are dying. They're saying leaving the church is akin and analogous to dying and going to wherever you go.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was also saying like, oh, once you get into that secular lifestyle, you know, like you'll probably do drugs and stuff and then you'll just end up on a gurney.
Right. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's no, that's probably also... maybe what it is. Yeah, like, well, if you're not a Christian rock star.
These are, by the way, the least sexy burlesque girls.
It's so
have
funny.
You ever seen with the feathers?
It's so funny.
Sexy
it was
nurses
Christian music
with no
appropriate.
Cleavage. Yes, it's hilarious. Why even bother with the sexy nurses?
Disco ball.
Here's what's wrong with me, Caroline. When the dancers came on in this music video, I was like, I think they look cute.
They do look cute.
I mean, they do. Yeah,
cute is the right word.
There are so many things happening in that music video. You had burlesque dancers, ostrich feathers. You had
the Russian dancing with the kicks.
Dancing. You had disco balls. Mm-hmm. There are so many color palettes. My God, my brain hurts.
Now, do you feel, I mean, when you listen to this song or even when just talking about what it is, where it's someone who misses you and loves you, but they're also saying so long my friend, you know, years before John Piper would tweet farewell Rob Bell. Do you feel like that triggers memories for you of people being like, you know, we love you no matter what, we do miss you and we miss seeing you around or miss having you a part of small group or church or you know, of our little gang, whatever it may be.
It doesn't like trigger memories, like it triggers active experience.
Okay.
Yeah, like phone calls and texts.
Yeah.
Current
like, hey,
moments.
My mom sang me this song. yeah, no, it is, it's like still, it's just wild that how, despite how old this song is and how like outdated, I guess, so many things about the music video might be, even the song, right, aesthetically, you can look at it and go, yeah, but what you're actually saying has not changed over the past, what, 20 years, 30 sure. years or whatever. Because we have folks who we'll talk to and you'll bring up something about our friendship and they're like, no, we're like still friends. We love you guys. Like we like hang out with non-saved people all the time. And I'm like, right. We went to the same church, motherfucker. Like what is going on now?
So yeah, the Russian, I was like, hey, Jesus even hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors.
Like, I can certainly take you to coffee.
I work an office job.
Yeah, what the hell? I'm in graphic design.
Also known as prostitution.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You can have it on time, you could, or cheap, or whatever, good. Whatever.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because they just made, like you said, Kevin, Christian passive aggressiveness sexy and catchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's and like that music video drives it home. You're either with us or you're dead on a gurney because you one time smelled a cigarette butt. Now you're dead. Congratulations. And you're going to HE double hockey stick.
I wonder if this exists, but I would love to hear the onstage patter that they would probably do before singing this song in concert where it's like, you know, we've had to say goodbye to a lot of friends over the years and we wanted to write a song
a
about
podcasts.
Like whatever the... Whatever the case may be.
But we still love them as Christ would love them. Like,
what? Abstract way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting emotion that I haven't heard put in a Christian song before. So I guess even from just like a technical songwriting perspective, they're getting at something that is unique. It's not just like vertical worship songwriting of like, God, you're great. You know, it's like... But the thing that they're zeroing in on with, I think, a fair amount of accuracy in their specificity is mean. Maybe it's a little bit mean, even though they seem so cute and nice in that music video.
Judgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right, Caroline. It is kind of like these mental gymnastics you have to do. And like when Kevin, you asked if this was triggering of people doing it to us, on the very same token, it's triggering of me doing it to other people when I was like, a church planter. I'm like, sorry, you can't serve here. You can't do that because this or that. It's very much these mental gymnastics where you're told to love people, but at a distance. And then if they meet these requirements, then they can be brought into the fold. But if not, you can still love them. You can still hang out with non-saved people. That's fine. But I'm like, it's like, what is it? Is it one or the other? It's so confusing. And to make sense of it all, it's just even more work than my brain has time to do.
Yeah. Well, and I used to think too of like, oh, well, with non-Christians or whatever, they'll get like the shell Caroline, you know, but people that want the real, rawest, coolest Caroline, like you gotta love Jesus, you know, and then you get to know the real me and it's worth it.
Otherwise it's shell-a-line or bust.
And guess what? She doesn't cuss. She's kind of weird.
Barely looks
in the eye. To know me, you got to get with JC.
It's right. Yeah. You know, really know me.
That is
so interesting.
God. That's true, though. No, I totally get that. That track. Yeah. It's like, I will keep you at a distance.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't ask you for advice if I was going for something, you know?
Right. But, and I wouldn't disclose like, things about myself.
You can't trust them.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't trust them. They don't know the Lord. Right?
They're not part of the family.
Mm.
And then I actually did get to know people that were not Christian. I was like, oh, they're better at being human than I am. So, whoops.
Listen.
Funny how that works.
I learned a lot. Yeah.
Same.
Friends, I got a lot of regrets. One among them is maybe 7 or 8 years ago. a girl confessing to me that she had a crush on me and she was a wonderful person I'd been friends with for, you know, a couple of years. And then one of the reasons was like, well, I don't know. You're not a Christian.
Unequally poked.
There it is.
Unequally poked. Oh, gracious. No, man. Yeah, that's
amazing.
Oh, it's so sad.
Super common. So many people did that.
Did you that ever, Caroline?
No, I wasn't like interacting with non-Christian boys like enough for that to even happen. That's how Christian I was.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm sure it would have happened a lot
No. You're right. Yeah. If you let yourself, then it would have been having constant. Oh gosh. You know, usually, you know, for singles ministry, we do a little segment called Cover Me, which we don't have the jingle for because it's on the hard drive. iTunes just told me. But I was looking for like any cover version of this song on YouTube, and there are none. There are like drum covers where it's a guy covering it, just doing solo drums. And then there's strangely a lot of children doing the song as like a little sketch. They'll be like lip syncing to the song.
Oh, like acting it out. Do they like cast out one of the kids? Like the and murder slutty him boy.
Yeah. No, there are. There's a few of those. But you know, I did find one where it was I think it's worth watching. And Caroline, it's in my sweet spot of content where it's from almost 10 years ago and it has less than 200 views.
Which yes, let's go.
Let's punch stuff. Down. Here
oh,
we go.
Oh, dear Lord.
Now, let's not give any specifics about this. Like shout out his username or anything. But let's just hear what this person has to say.
This one is for Jana. I'm not even going to introduce it, but I fully expect you to do a version of this yourself. You already know what it is, so I'm just going to start playing.
She already knows.
I heard your record on the telephone. It was my cousin Joan. She picked it up in the top 40 rack, and then I read your interview in Rolling Stone.
I'll skip ahead a little bit.
We know exactly where you are and you're gone. Don't know exactly almost, where you're coming from. Have you gone astray?
The title is Vocal Fun, and I think he is having some vocal fun.
He was having fun. So he's having a lot of fun.
You know what? I bet Jenna enjoyed it.
Good for
I
him.
Enjoyed it.
Hey.
I think the mixture of like the really crappy camera and the fuzziness just added to it.
It's endearing.
2012, a different ratio.
I love his confidence. Like, you already know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's the title of the video.
You're going to do it back. Here we go.
What song could it possibly be?
It's like a rock band getting into Freebird. Like, you guys know this one. My friend so long? Okay.
This reminds me of a question I wanted to ask you two. As a worship leader, did you ever try to imitate any of the DC Talk boys in your style, in your both instruments or in your vocals?
Oh, man. Okay, I'll say this. When the Supernatural album came out, I listened to it religiously, and I was so fascinated with how each member of DC Talk had like their own thing, right? Uh-huh. So like Michael had this kind of like a very like an R&B, I guess, kind of approach. He was like, he would riff, but not in the same way that Kevin would riff. And then Kevin would have just like a very almost like cinematically rock and roll kind of energy
glam
with all
rock.
Of this hyper vibrato, totally glam rock.
Very well
and then Toby
described,
Mac,
yes.
And then Toby Mac was like, He was like the hip hop guy who's like now kind of edgy, kind of new metal-ish, I guess. And so I really didn't know. I wanted to be one of them and to encapsulate one in my persona. And Michael Tate was the brownest one. I thought maybe I could be Michael Tate because I'm kind of the brownest one. But there's also something rockish about like Kevin Max. So I can't say I did, but I can say I analyzed the hell out of it to try and determine which one I wanted.
This was like, are you a Carrie or a Samantha?
Oh, yeah. I was like, that's such a Kevin thing to do. Yeah, totally.
I'm a Pisces rising and I am a Tate.
I'm a Tate.
Gracious. I know.
Kevin, what do you think I would be out of the three?
Out of the three, you're Kevin Max.
Yeah, easy.
Okay.
Yeah, easy. Like it's not even a question.
Easy? What does that mean? All right.
Because Kevin Max is the most Enneagram 4 out of these three boys, I think, where it's he desires individuality in the same way I think you do.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's here comes the diss thirsty. Track. All right, here comes the kiss track.
No catch to it. No catch.
But Kevin, I think you're kind of a Toby Mac.
Unfortunately, I'm a Toby TBH. Mac. Where it's like people
nodding,
look at me and they're like, someone get him some water. Like, is he okay?
I hope you start wearing a bandana in your twilight years. That would be so nice.
Oh, this reminds me, there was a... this is so funny. I don't know if you guys saw this. They wrote it up on Relevant. I'm sure Tyler probably worked on it. Our friend Tyler Huckabee. Kevin Max asked fans to cast a hypothetical DC Talk movie, and they did not disappoint. God. So Kevin's out here on Twitter. This is a year ago, January 10th, 2020. If one should ever do a film on the life of DC Talk, who should play who? Top shelf actors only.
Top shelf. Damn.
Of course.
Oh, so first person says Wayne Brady has taped.
Wait,
read the next thing.
That's next part.
Nick Cage is Kevin Max. Jamie Kennedy is Toby Mac.
Bro, I will crowdfund the shit out of that thing. Let's go.
Nick Cage
is a perfect.
I
like that they all casting them as middle aged too. They're not the young version.
I'm checking the day on this tweet because it seems like it was written in 1999. Morgan Freeman plays Tate. Anthony Hopkins is Toby.
Ancient. Holy smokes.
Oh my God. Bono's dad.
Oh my gosh. Another gentleman. Toby, Andy Samberg, Michael B. Jordan, no. Kevin, Bradley Cooper.
Okay, this one is trying to flirt with Kevin Max for sure.
Oh, yeah. You're the Bradley Cooper.
Get some points. Come on.
Oh gosh. Paul Bettany, Toby Mac, Michael Jamal Warner, Michael Tate, Ryan Gosling.
They do all look like them.
Wow. Sure. That one's pretty good.
And then Tyler Huckabee's was Aaron Paul as Toby Mac. Robert Pattinson as Kevin Max. And then, the gentleman who was so
John
mad
Boyega.
About Star Wars. What's that?
John Boyega.
His name escaped my mind for a second.
That's actually a very good one.
I'd watch that.
Caroline, how do you feel about this one? Toby, wishfully, Paul Walker, R.I.P. Realistically, no, Daniel Radcliffe.
Damn!
No, I would accept
Paul
nothing
Walker
less than a post-mortem Paul Walker.
A holographic Paul
like
Walker.
A CGI.
Hey, do any,
like
whatever they did for those scenes in Fast 7.
Paul Walker rest.
And
let that
Kevin,
man sleep.
Harry Styles. So someone's tweeting at Kevin Max in his 40s or 50s. I think Harry Styles should play.
Yeah. People's concept idea, of Kevin Max is like all over the place.
Real quick. The idea of Paul Walker, his likeness being resurrected to portray Toby Mac, he'd be like, what are you doing? Stop.
Yo, go T-Records. Like, it's going to
pop
it up.
Oh, no, Caroline.
Up,
no.
Guys. Go.
Go T-Records. Get out of here.
Get out of here with gracious. That.
This is now traumatic.
I can't ever stop thinking about Go T-Records.
It's not traumatic. Yeah. It's not good Christian fun unless it's traumatic at least.
Why would you name a record label after that?
But it's not spelled like goatee. It's spelled like go T-E-E. It's not like...
Which makes even less sense.
So maybe it's about golf. Like goatee. Yeah.
And he doesn't even rock the goatee anymore. I'm Googling
him. The dopest thing in the world is golf.
In fact, the thing that seems to have stuck around style-wise for him the most is hat wear.
Sure.
So he really should have
He loves a pork pie. Homeboy loves a pork pie.
Lids.
Oh, gosh. Anything else we want to say about this song... My friend, so
I
long.
Love this song. This song is so good.
So friend, my long. I think musically, it's kind of cool. Like
it's
the
very good.
Hooks and breaks of it. I think they crafted a good pop song. So, all right, let's do it. Let's get to our rating. The way this works, gentlemen, is we give it a holy roast or a holy toast. Holy toast is a thumbs up. We send this song to heaven. Heaven-bound. Or holy roast, that's a thumbs down. We send it. And so we'll start as usual with Caroline.
Holy Toast, this song lyrically reminds me of how internally I talked about Josh Hartnett as a child, which is like, if he were my boyfriend, I would kiss him, I would hug him, we'd go on dates, it'd be awesome. And if he ever betrayed me, like that would be it for us. I respect that pettiness and the imagination of this song too. So Holy Toast for me.
I respect the pettiness too. Great rating. We'll turn it to Josh first in a stunning turn of events.
I'll do a holy toast as well as for all the passive aggressiveness of the song. Mm-hmm. That intro riff on the acoustic guitar is so unique and weird, and they still intertwine it into a very... Yes. I love it. I want to hear that acoustic riff nonstop 24/7 in heaven. So I'll toast that.
Josh is going to go to practice this and learn that immediately after this.
Yeah, I'll figure it out tonight.
Yes.
Hey, I smell a new diss track beat coming soon.
Yeah. The band back together.
Talk. It's me stumbling through all the intros of their songs. It's really
bad. And then doing the Adam Sandler and Kasumi.
I've never heard anyone reference it like that. And yeah, it's perfect, dude. It's so good.
Yeah. Hey, Kasumi, aka Hubie Halloween.
Oh my God.
All right, we'll turn to Adrian. What say you for this song?
I'm going to say Holy Toast primarily because of the music video. The music video to me was clever.
Wow,
it
cinema.
Was thematic. It was cinematic. Took you on a ride. You're like, who is in the gurney? No one knows. And wait a minute, it's me. Am I in the gurney? It was just deeply engaging. And yes. Again, there's something about the stoic delivery of lyrics that I have always been like, if ever I somehow make it big as a musician mm-hmm. and somehow make a music video, I'm going to stare straight into the camera and barely move my mouth. Okay. Even though I'm belting on the track.
We kind of, so, yeah, it makes you wonder if this podcast would have been better if we had done that over Zoom. If we had all just kind of looked at our Zoom cameras and just barely spoken.
I am so happy to be here. It is the coolest thing to be here.
I guess deconstruction for me is a journey. It's a process.
We are so grateful and grateful.
I love everyone
now.
You
guys look so freaking cool. Oh my God.
It works, fellas. It works.
Damn.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm making it unanimous. I'm giving it a holy toast myself.
Let's go.
The lyrical content and the thought of this song is, you know, and much like the namesake of our guest, dirty and rotten.
Yeah.
But the music overwhelms it. So it's going to heaven, baby.
Yay!
That's such a good song.
As per usual, you can make something evil fun if you package it the right way. So go to @ChristianFunPot on Twitter. Give it a roast or toast yourself. Get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
Oh, perfect. Okay, now, friends, it's time to bring it down here in the studio. Oh, Dexter? No. Excuse me, buddy. Sorry. Got a little furry friend over here. Our producer, Dexter, is getting a little out of control.
Slacking off.
But we're dimming the lights and we're lighting the candles in here, and listen, we're not here to plug our projects or promote ourselves. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord. And by that, I mean our social media handles, our podcasts, our projects, and maybe even something we're enjoying in secular culture. And we start, as per usual, with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. I don't have a classic lift up this week.
What is this
going to
be? My cat. What is it?
Dry cleaning. It's gonna be I lately, when I just really feel like I want to see something, when I want to feel something, I open Instagram, and you know how you have your first stories at the top, the people you're always interacting with. Sometimes I just slam that slider all the way to the end, and I see, what are the stories I haven't been watching in months, years, who knows? And within there is buried some gems and some people I shouldn't have forgotten. So I highly recommend doing that.
Caroline's recommendation in Lift Up is fighting against the algorithm that's ruining our lives in many areas.
And you're going to be sticking it to Instagram every day when you do that. Zuckerberg is going to be crying in his sleep. Be like, how dare she?
Wow. Good lift up. All right. We turn it to Adrian.
You can lift up Dirty Rotten Church Kids podcast anywhere fine podcasts can be procured. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Dirty Rotten Church Kids, as well as on Twitter at Dirty Rotten CK. And then you could also lift up, I watched 4 hours of Justice League, the Snyder Cut, and I'm exhausted. It's just a lot of sepia tone, just long, very long, and I'm absolutely exhausted, y'all. I need rest.
Lifting that up?
I'm lifting that up more for like myself.
I think he's lifting himself up, and people need to support him in light of it.
it's a really tough time, and so that's kind of what I'm lifting up.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Adrian. We turn it to Josh.
I will echo Adrian's social medias. Mm. Echo my echo.
Yeah.
But also, I read a graphic novel series called Lock and Key. It's also a show on Netflix. You can pass that up. The graphic novel is amazing. But I will lift up the lock in your heart, because there's only one key. And just like the video we watched earlier, you know what it is.
Yes, God.
Fine, you Jana. Know what it's about, Jana. To be. You know yes. what it's about,
Jana, Jana. You know what the key is.
All right, Jana.
But yeah, I would like to lift that up as well. Yeah, lock and key.
Lock and key. All right, terrific.
Sounds great.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter, everywhere, and I'm gonna lift up the Threedom Podcast, which friends of the show Lauren Lapkus and Paul F. Tompkins do. With someone who's not a friend of the show, Scott Ackerman, but that has been
so nice. Good, so
no
good.
No friend to GCO.
No friend to GCO. He grew up in the church. It makes sense that we would have Ooh. Him yep. on. Yeah, he grew up in like Orange County church stuff because, yeah, he was out there.
Contact info.
But terrific show. We hope to complete the Threedom Trifecta at some point in the future. We love you, Scott. Mm. But yes, what a great little like. This is how I mark so much of quarantine is like the first podcast I listen to on whatever particular day while taking my morning walk. And that's such a great Thursday rhythm. So I recommend it to people looking for a little bit of normalcy in their lives. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity for the month of May is RAIN. It's the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. It's a charity we've done before, but it bears worth repeating. Josh, Adrian, thanks so much for doing the show, gang. What a fun
Thank
time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. It's been a joy. It's really fun.
We love you guys so much, and we really admire what you do and want to encourage you in it. I mean, we're in church again.
We want to encourage
now,
you.
Let's
we
go.
Just like keep it up. You know, you guys
keep the faith.
Love it.
Yeah.
Keep the faith.
Thank you for this word.
Yeah, I run the race,
that.
Brother.
Don't ever change.
Yeah. Persevere. Philippians 4.
My iron
20.
Is so sharpened right now.
Yeah. Dude, my iron's never been sharper, if I'm being honest. Whoa. It's been a long quarantine.
My iron is razor sharp
right now.
The iron is sharp. And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said
Amen.
All right. Dealer's choice. Should we go out with the cover of the song to Jana? Or should we go out with the Jesus Freak Cruise edition of this song?
We're going to go
Ahoy,
with Jesus
matey. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go to see
I need to see those can-can kicks again.
Here
I got
we...
a Mai Tai in my hand. I'm ready to go.
Here we go.
Island time. Can you imagine?
A PSA. Don't leave your Timberlake in the car too long or this will occur. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.